This is Dale Jr., and you're listening to Dirty Mo Radio.
Do you feel like if you restart back there, you're going to be able to make up to the front? I don't know why. Whoops, the Dale's going to stop us.
Ooh. You're now listening to the Dale Jr. Download presented by Spy. Check out Dale Jr.'s signature Dirty Mo sunglasses from Spy at spyoptic.com.
Hey, everybody. It's Jr.
Post-race Talladega.
First off, everything went pretty good in practice. Pretty simple. Not a whole lot going on there. You just get in the car and go. Make sure that the travels are what you want and there's no problems with the motor, leaks, so forth. Pretty simple. Qualifying, again, went really well. Had been going good for us at plate tracks this year, especially Talladega. The race, I was pretty nervous. Having to, win to get in. Had my stomach tore up a little bit. And, I knew that the best thing I needed to do all day long was just work hard to stay in the lead. Get the lead, keep the lead. Get the lead, keep it. When you got it, don't let go of it. Block, block, block. Do everything you got to do. Be smart. Don't block like an idiot, but be aggressive. So, that's what we did all day. I thought we did a really good job of that. I got shuffled back a couple times, and the car was great, so I was able to work my way back up there and challenge and get back into the lead. Late in the race, they all formed a high line, which is usually hard to beat. The bottom, once we all get to the fence, it's really hard to make anything happen on the bottom. So I was a little nervous because the 22 had those guys running the wall with about 12 to go. And I'd never really been back outside of the, top two or three in that situation before. So I just sort of, picked off one or two at a time as aggressive as I could till we got all the way back up to second. And the caution come out. A lot was going on there at the end of the race. I don't have a real clear understanding of what it looked like from inside the car. I felt like that I got a pretty good restart on Joey before they called that restart off, the one that we didn't make it to the line on. I thought I had a good restart on Joey. The next time Joey got me a little bit better. I mean, we were still kind of side by side, but I wasn't quite as far up on him. And by the time we got to where they called the next yellow, I was just passing him. And I think that I'm not going to probably ever watch the replay. I'm not ever going to look at pictures. I'm never really going to search out a whole lot of opinions about it. But I felt like that we were moving past him. And we can debate who won that race for the rest of the time. We probably won't, though, because after a couple weeks, we'll forget about it. It does remind me that I won lost a race just like that against Jeff Gordon, which I thought I had that one won. And I still do today. So I'll probably, ask me 5 years from now, I'll tell you I won this race today. But, I don't know. I'm hearing and reading about all this stuff with Harvick. I don't really care. That's for those guys to debate, the drivers that were involved, who it affected. I mean, I don't really care. I think overall that I'm proud of what we did. I really worked hard. The team really worked hard. I'm talking every corner, every lap, doing everything we needed to do, putting the car where we needed to be, recovering from the mistakes we made. I made some mistakes in the draft. I came into my stall slow, and the guys came off the wall too fast, and we sort of both messed up that pit stop. We got lucky and got a caution there, so we didn't get lapped. I mean, we just, we worked really, really hard. I think that, I think I worked harder, and I'm more proud of the drive that we had today than I am the ones that we won this year. And as I got a little knot in my stomach, a little sick about how it ended, but if we had went another 100 feet and they threw the yellow with us ahead, that's because we were obviously going by Joey, and they give us the win that way. I don't know that feels a whole lot different, aside from the fact that we'd be in the chase still when we would have been in victory lane. I don't know that we could have celebrated that kind of victory as hard as a well-earned victory. You know what I mean? There's just something weird about it. I'd have had to listen to all the critics say how that was given to me. So that wouldn't have been much fun either. So either way, it sucks. Sucks for NASCAR, sucks for us, sucks for everybody. I don't want NASCAR to get a black eye over this deal because I really love the sport. And I think they did the best they could under the circumstances. We got a rule book and we went by it, and that's the results. I like that. Anyhow, we're going to Martinsville. My man Greg Ives doesn't have a clock. He's won 7 races at Martinsville as an engineer or crewman on Jimmy's cars. So we have a mission. We got a mission, man, and that's going to Martinsville to get this clock. It seems like when we put a little extra incentive out there, it makes us work that much harder. So if anybody can come up with some good incentives for Phoenix, Texas, Homestead, send them in. Hope you guys, hope y'all enjoyed the effort we put in today. I know you guys didn't like the result at all, but I really hope you guys appreciated the effort because it was all we had. We gave it everything we had every single lap. And we're going to do some other good things for this year's out. I remember if I look at the video of our celebration in Victor Lane at Martinsville, we had just been eliminated from the chase the week before at Talladega, just like this year. And if I look at that Victor Lane celebration and see us jumping up and down in Victor Lane over that clock, those guys there didn't look too damn disappointed about being knocked out of the chase. So if we can go win us a race, we can end the season on a bright spot, and we can think about how good our future looks, because it looks really good to me. Hope everybody has a good week at work. Go kick some ass, and we're going to get ready for Martinsville.
TJ Majors, Amanda Wolfmeyer, Mike Davis, Taylor Sarzer, you've heard from Dale Jr. This is the Dale Jr. Download presented by SPY. I apologize. Before we talk about it and what happened, I do want to start by saying this, Mike Davis.
Yep.
That car should be in the Smithsonian. It should win a Pulitzer Prize. It should be in the Hall of Fame. First, I'd like to see it on the track, really, again and again and again.
To go back to the car, chassis 872, it finished first, third, first, and second, led 277 laps out of the 808 laps it ran this year. That's getting it done right there. That is a piece that you do. Yeah, you want to put it in the Smithsonian? I want to see it race the Daytona 500.
Yeah, well, I do want – first, I want to see it on the track again, and then, yes.
So,
maybe
yeah.
TJ should be in the Smithsonian, too.
And what's amazing what's amazing is that actually Junior knew that what he had before we ever got to the track. He was saying it last week on this podcast. So,
yeah,
this is a horse right here. And, man, when you put that horse in, you incentivize it like the way that we had, right? We had to win it. Was really – you know what it reminded me of? There's a scene in Glory, you know, the movie Glory, the Civil War movie, where Morgan Freeman and everybody, they're sitting there praying. They say, look, you know, I left my kinfolk at home, and Lord, if tomorrow's my day, let them know that I went down standing up and that I faced the enemy. And that's the way I felt that the 88 team did. They went down standing up. They had the field covered. It didn't work out. The cards didn't work out. But you can go to bed at night knowing you went down standing up. And I think that that's what Dale Jr. speaks to there.
It's hard. It's really, really hard. And we're never going to forget it. 5 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we're never going to forget it. If there had been a race, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Would have won it. And it's not even close.
No.
I understand what Logano was trying to do by breaking up Gordon and Dale Jr. He didn't want them in the same line. And that's why he gave Dale Jr. the bottom. That's his reasoning, by the way.
I guess. I wasn't sure why.
No, he said it.
Okay.
He said he didn't want Junior and Gordon together. He said because if you put – he said those were the two best cars on the track all day long, and if you put those cars together, I had no shot, so I had to break them up. That's why he gave Junior the bottom. But guess what? I think that was the worst decision by giving Junior the bottom.
I don't know. I mean, I agree. I wouldn't have put him on the bottom, but I kind of like the decision to split us up. Jeff's a heck of a plate racer, and, you know, Brad's no slouch either, but – Brad's not known for historically great restarts either. You know, I'm not saying he couldn't have. It's really what the part I don't understand about it is just it's really easy to manipulate a restart when you're working the hand signals. It's so easy to do that, and if you can have a teammate behind you, but he didn't want him. And I guess he also had the option of, okay, well, you know, if he lays off, if Jeff lays off him, Brad will see it and lay off us. So, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know.
All right, Mike, we should probably bring in somebody smarter than us to try to make sense of everything we've discussed today.
That's not a bad idea. You know, usually we have takes a nation. Today's is going to be takes an explanation by Nationwide. And so, yeah, let's do this.
Time now for It Takes a Nation, presented by Nationwide.
Ryan McGee was in Talladega, works for ESPN. McGee, we have a little bit of controversy to discuss. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. So the best part is, I could just talk about this forever, but yeah, the best part was going back to the media center. And like I had to go out to the grid and do TV stuff, and we talked to Dell Jr. out there and some other guys, and I had to go to Victor Lane and interview Logano, and then I had to stop doing the TV thing and go write a column for ESPN.com, and I literally sat down at my computer and I go, I don't know what to do here, because I wasn't entirely sure what had all just happened for the hour leading up to that, but I figured something out.
Well, yeah, and that's the column that I read that made me want to call you for this podcast, Ryan, because you were one of the groups. I think the group was rather large, but you were right there when Dell Jr. got out of the car. So before we get into how you were able to make sense of this whole race, talk to us about what Dell Jr.'s first impressions were, or your first impressions of Dell when he got out of the car.
Well, you know, Talladega is different than any other track because every car stops on pit road after the race. You know, other races, you know, they stop the first handful of cars out on pit road, and then everybody else goes to the garage and packs up and leaves. At Talladega, literally, it's like a parking lot. Everybody was sitting there. And so all these drivers would get out of their cars, and the biggest crowd of media people obviously were around the 88 car. And Dale Jr. had the same expression on his face everybody else did, which was, you know, there was a lot of disappointment, obviously, because only one guy won the race, and none of them were him. But it was just this look, everybody was kind of looking around, and it was completely quiet. That's what was so weird, because no one had any idea what was going on. And so Dell Jr. basically gets out of the car, and everybody, we start our questions, you know, well, what happened was always the first question, and the response was, well, you guys tell me. And it wasn't just him, it was everybody. But it was, I'm telling you guys, I've been going down there 20 years, and it was the strangest atmosphere after the race, because it was completely silent. There were some boos when Logano, you know, was doing his burnout, and obviously you saw the people throwing the beer cans, but honestly, that wasn't that loud. It was just super quiet, just weird. And Dell Jr., you know, to get into town, he wiped his face off, and the immediate reaction was, well, somebody explain to me what happened, and none of us could, because none of us, we were hoping he'd explain it to us.
Ryan, now that we've had time to digest all of this, what should Junior Nation be pissed about?
Well, listen, he didn't win a race, and that's tough, but it's just how it is. And I think you know, for all the people who are sitting in the grandstand, it probably looked like he did. And I think when it happened live on TV, it probably looked like, you know, he was the one in the lead, but the reality is he wasn't. And, you know, all the conspiracy theories, man, I mean, and obviously Dell Jr. fans have been in this situation, you know, at least one time before, where the caution comes out and you're like, well, did we win or did we not at Talladega? And so, you know, and that's the tough break. You know, had it stayed green all the way to the end, I really believe that they had nothing for him. Because the reality is that the only force that slowed that car all day long was you know, the mistakes of the teammate, whether it was Dell Jr., whether it was crew, or whether it was the circumstances or whatever. So everybody can it probably makes it hurt a little more, but you can take solace in knowing that it was almost a crazy epic finish and a crazy epic comeback. And, you know, obviously it was just one spot short.
So here's where I'm at, McGee, and tell me if you agree or disagree with any of this, because I've been trying to process this in my own head for, you know, at least 24 hours here, as I'm sure you have too. If you get past all the noise of the fact that just the disappointment that Dell lost, you know, naturally when people are that disappointed, they're looking for someone to blame, and I get that. But ultimately, just the disappointment that Dell didn't win is really the source of the pain. That being said, if I'm trying to find some fault or anything, it's that it starts earlier in the week where NASCAR changed the rule. And I don't even fault them for changing the rule because I feel like I know why they did it. But is this not just a case where they didn't think all the way through the ramifications that might come with it, which is also just a byproduct of restrictor plate racing? Because all these things happen because not everything was thought all the way through, and these cars going this speed actually did something that we didn't think about. And I'm wondering if that's really the source of the problem here, is that they were forced to make a decision. They had to make a decision. It was going to be damned if you do, damned if you don't, one way or another, to give it a second chance. And that ultimately is the, like the only thing I can really come to a conclusion on.
Yeah, and honestly, and they just kind of set themselves up to look like they didn't know what they were doing at the end. And that's kind of what happened. You know, the reaction, I was not outside. I was in the media center when we had what I guess officially wasn't the first attempt. And you know, we all saw what happened. And the announcement came, I mean, within seconds, the announcement came. You know, for folks that don't know, like in media centers and in press boxes, you know, there's an official score, and they make an announcement. If it's football, it's so-and-so carried the ball for 2 yards, and so-and-so had to tackle. And in NASCAR, it's, you know, the caution was this long, and it lasted this many laps, or so-and-so has just been penalized for 2 minutes over the wall, or whatever. And in this case, the first crash happened, and it wasn't, I mean, I'm telling you, it wasn't, the cars weren't done spinning yet. And the score had already come over and said that was not an attempt at green-white checker. And, of course, it was a groan in the media center and all that. And I think it was the right call, and by the letter of the law, it was correct. But it still just felt wonky because of the week. And Michael, with you, I think they did their research, because when I did my research, what I learned was that there really haven't been, since they instituted the green-white checker deal, in 20-some-odd races, I think we only had, like, one race at Talladega where we had to have more, or two races at Talladega where we had to have more than one, you know, green-white checker attempt. So the numbers were on their side. Just like the crew chief knows when the caution is probably going to come. It's a pretty educated guess, but you're right. That was really about half the research they needed to do. And you kind of have to do the impact study. You know, what's going to be the impact if we end up in a situation? And, you know, it kind of felt like you just wanted to really just kind of cover their eyes and thought, you know, well, hopefully it'll work out. And the one scenario that they did not want to happen didn't just happen once, it happened twice.
Let me ask you a big picture question, Ryan McGee. This past week, your employer, ESPN, asked you to do this turn four that you do quite frequently with some other people at ESPN, namely Ricky Craven, Bob Pockris, Marty Smith. And you were all asked about the state of NASCAR right now. Marty said it's treading water. Bob Pockris said it's rough, but it's not in a free fall. You had Ricky Craven say it's neutral, and you said it's a pretty heavy transition period. Having said that, do you think that the current chase format is helping the sport at all? Do you think green-white checkers are helping the sport? Do you think Talladega being the last leg before you move on to a next round is helping the sport at all? I know it's all done to try to help the sport, and NASCAR should get credit for that. But is it working? Is any of that working?
Taylor, it's a great question. And I got to be honest with you, it's something that, you know, I had dinner by myself last night somewhere in Birmingham, and I thought about this a lot. I really did. And actually, I talked to Ricky Craven last night. It was funny, too, because I actually had an exchange with Dale Jr. on Twitter last night about this, because I got asked by a fan, you know, do you like the chase format? And my response was yes. And the reason that I do is because, listen, I'm from Rockingham. And, you know, I grew up watching Dale Sr. Win championships with 2 and 3 and 4 races to go. And I saw Jeff Gordon do the same thing. I saw Matt Kenseth do the same thing. And mathematically, they may not have clinched it, but the reality was that they had really won the championship almost 2 months before the season was over with. So I'll always take this over that. And I'll always argue that the interest is higher now. And I know this because of my bosses at SportsCenter. You know, if we had the old point system, I can tell you right now, even back in the RPM Tonight days, SportsCenter and Sports Illustrated, ESPN, they didn't have anything to do with any of this because football started and there wasn't a championship to speak of. So from that perspective, it works. And I like the elimination format. I hated it when they first rolled it out. But I've come to love it because I like the tension in the garage and I like the drama and all that. I'm a sports writer. But at some point, I try not to give too much credit to the complainers, but at some point, I have to acknowledge the fact that 95% of the feedback I get on the chase is terrible.
Is that right?
And,
wow.
Yeah, and that part of it, you know, I defend it and defend it and defend it. And you guys know me. I am far from a NASCAR apologist. That's easy to find. You know, I get yelled at by them as much as anybody for expressing opinions about stuff. But the reality is that at some point, and this is what I kind of wrestled with last night, is at some point, maybe it's not working because I keep hearing from the people that it's not working. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think, listen, there are a lot of bigger factors that go into the whatever this formula is that has led to, you know, a downturn. The biggest thing being the economic crash, you know, 7 years ago. But the reality is that at some point you have to at least have the conversation that maybe the chase isn't working, or you know, maybe the elimination format isn't working, or you know, maybe green white checkers isn't working, or double file restarts, or all the stuff that's come around in the last 15 years. I personally think it's way better than it used to be. I think that we give old races way too much credit for being exciting. The greatest example of all time is the 79 Daytona 500, or even the 95 race of Bristol that I just wrote about with Dale Sr. and Terry Labonte. Those were terrible races.
Yeah.
The races were awful. The finishes were great. And I think people have a tendency to think that it was just like that for 500 miles or 500 laps all the time back in the day. The reality is, it wasn't. The race is better now. But is it because the race is better? Is it because it's rigged? And in the past, I wouldn't even have that conversation. And now I'm willing to at least listen.
Well, on this topic then, McGee, as we tape this, it's actually Monday afternoon, and the 2016 schedule just came out. Okay, so does the schedule have something to do with it? I'm of that camp that a 10-month racing schedule is too much.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I'm a traditionalist. I don't like to hear everybody's ideas on rule changes. I don't like changing rules. I don't like changing things up. But I know the grind, and I know that now that I'm not on the road and experiencing the grind firsthand, I know that at home there's things also that will pull me away from a race. And so is there something to it? Because I look at the schedule that was just released, and I don't see really any much difference.
Yeah, it doesn't look much different at all.
Yeah, schedule shakeup is what I've been wanting for a long time. You know, I think it goes even deeper than the races that we're going to and all that. I don't just think the season's too long. I think race weekends are too long. You know, TJ, you'd be the first one. I think probably Saturday was a giant waste of time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
That should have been a 2-day show this weekend, and most weekends should be a 2-day show. I really believe that. Most of the time, that middle day anymore is just a waste of time. And I think race weekends are too long. I think most races are too long, and I think the season's too long. I've thought that for a long time. And listen, you guys know me. You know, like Taylor, my other beat's college football, and the reality is that once Labor Day weekend hits, Darlington was the last sign of just awesome, full-on spotlight magic, and then the NFL started the next weekend, and it is what it is. But I can send that too. But the schedule shakeup is the one thing I've been asking for a long time, or wanting to see happen for a long time, and it hasn't happened. And you know, the schedule came out today, and they also announced that for the first time in forever, they've signed you know long-term deals with all these tracks, like
yep.
5-year deals. So what we have now is probably what we're going to have. You know, 5 years from now.
That's right.
New, nothing old, and that might not be the right move.
That's exactly right. It goes through 2021, so get used to it.
One thing I think you're right about, man, I went to bed nervous this weekend, and I normally don't. You don't normally do that, you know, and I'm long. Before we had the chase, it was just another race, you know, and you went in there. Now you go. We're all the ones that are in there knowing what, you know, we got a big day the next day. And I like that.
I went to
bed nervous, you know, or had that feeling like Dale Jr. said. I had that feeling, too. I knew the pressure was going to be on us to perform. And I like that. I think it's cool. And, you know, it gets us ready. And, you know, I think that's how it should be.
Well, and to Ryan's point, that is a huge coup. It's a huge advantage to have the chase. Maybe some of the parts of the chase need to be tweaked.
Yeah.
But the fact that we have that and have the playoffs and it's do or die, certainly is something that doesn't need to change. McGee, you're the best, my friend. We appreciate you.
Yeah, well, listen real quick. I mean, listen, the garage is a completely different place. I was so taken aback last year when I went to Kansas, which was a cutoff race last year. I was shocked at exactly what you're saying, man. I was shocked at how tense it was. Mm-hmm. Just walking around the garage. And I love it. And the eliminating guys, you know, I know it breaks people's heart when Jimmy Johnson and Dale Jr. those guys, but the reality is that's how postseasons work. That's how it works in every other sport.
Yep.
But again, maybe that's not how race fans want it. I hadn't stopped. But listen, you guys are the best. I appreciate you having me on. Let's do it again sometime.
Appreciate Ryan McGee joining us on Takes a Nation. And Junior Nation members, did you know that you can get a special discount when you switch to Nationwide? All you have to do, call 877-697-2246. Or visit nationwide.com/Junior Nation for more information. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.
Amanda, let's start with in-car number one, the vibration. That was something that throughout the entire race, if you watched it, if you listened to it, if you're tweeting about it, that all of us were concerned with. Here we go.
The vibration isn't as bad. Out front, it's a very small difference, so I did wheel hop it pretty bad getting on the pit road. I had the brake pedal go to the floor on the first push, and so I missed pit road pretty bad. So might have bent something there in the rear end. It's just a little shaky.
And that's something that all of us were paying close attention to. I got to give Rusty Wallace credit on MRN, listening to him for a little bit on Sunday. He did a fantastic job explaining why that can't work itself out at a restrictor plate race, because he said the brakes, you never use the brakes, obviously, so you can't work that problem out, TJ, at a restrictor plate race.
We think we just had too much front brake in it. You know, normally you don't run a lot of front brake on pit stops and stuff, so you don't spin out coming to pit road. If you have too much rear brake that swings the back of the car, it slows the back end faster and it spins you out. So when you're pitting at places like Dover and it's when you're coming off the bank and you crank a lot of front brake in it, and we just think we had too much front brake in it.
The team was P1, it fell to P4, it fell to P20, it moved back to P1. So Junior was pitting under green. Everybody was pitting under green. It was really kind of surprising to see no cautions for the longest time during this race. And pitting under green, lap 117, this is where everyone got so frustrated.
We're checking up on, we have an over-the-wall too soon. We have a drive-through penalty. Wait, yeah, no more. Gotta come. We gotta come, you sure? Yep, gotta come. Two more.
That was a frustrating moment, Mike.
Well, I thought it was ticky-tack myself, but then TJ told me that it's actually there's no gray areas. It's all computer-generated.
There
people are sitting there looking at it, and that they've been consistent all year on that stuff. If you're so much as 6 inches over the wall too soon, then they're going to call it, and I'm satisfied with that.
All right, before TJ gives his opinion, let's hear this next clip.
F4, buddy, keep digging there. Get a caution here and get back in it. F4, don't panic. Don't panic. Things are working out. Just take it off, man. Been doing great all day. Came into the box pretty careful, just not to slide any left side tires. So probably a combination of that. The guys just being eager, man. It's cool.
Two things I want to ask you. First, your reaction to what Mike said about the penalty, and then shaking it off.
Yeah, I mean, I was aggravated myself, but you know, listening to his, I kind of saw it myself. I saw his speed reduction into the stall, and he was being a little careful. And you know, that guy, they're trying to bust off a good stop, man. They're trying to be good for us, you know, and they just got out there a little too early. And but there is no gray area with it. They've been busting people all year, and they've been very consistent with it. So I don't, that it's not even NASCAR. They have, it's there, it's NASCAR, but it's not the guys in the booth. They have that trailer that monitors all that stuff, and they have it, I don't know if they show it on TV or not, but they have each pit box is squared in, and they know, and it's no gray area with it. It's not okay, we'll let them go. It's red or black or white, you know, it's, you're either right or you're wrong. So
you're 27th now. You're three quarters of the field behind the starters.
Yeah.
How worried are you?
Oh, man. You know, when we first came off pit road, we were thinking about getting back with that 51 to try to draft with him a little bit, but two cars still aren't going to go fast enough, and I didn't want to have to get to a point where we had to race him if the pack caught us, so I wanted to be away from him. Yeah, I was worried. I mean, I was looking for debris, anything I could find, man, looking for anything. And I mean, I could.
And y'all were calling out things too.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you get your other. But I have two pair of binoculars. I have the wide angle ones for drafting, and then the other ones that I use for damage stuff. I'm looking for anything I can find laying on the racetrack. But you know, luckily we got the caution.
Yeah, that was coming up. Let me tell you the one thing that I was concerned about is that we restarted 27th, like you said. Now, earlier, not too much earlier, but June was in fourth, and he got shuffled out of the draft, and he dropped back to 17th. And so I wanted to pay close attention, even though, because I knew we had the horse. Like, this is clearly the best car out there. How long will it take him to get back up? Because it was evident, and you know this, TJ, he wanted to be up front, stay up front, he was willing to block anybody that was going to be try to take. So he wasn't going to do any of this, I'm going to hang in the back, maybe wait for a race. He was going to go. It took him 26 laps to go from 17th. It was not easy.
No, we got boxed in.
You get boxed in a traffic jam, your horse is neutralized.
In pack racing, especially now. I mean, it's different in the two-car tango days or whatever, but in pack racing, it's not easy.
So we got boxed in. So, I mean, there was a good amount of laps there where we were three wide and we couldn't go anywhere, and that's when he got on me up that 78 car that one time. He wanted to get in that lane, and I didn't – you know, I'm not sure what he's thinking there, but nobody was really moving at that time, and – you just kind of got to bide your time a little bit, and we did, and, you know, and he got back up through there. I didn't see him drive this race any differently than I've seen him drive the other plate races this year. He's been very aggressive all year.
He sure has.
And I feel like that's also a combination of, you know, me and him working together, too. He knows how aggressive he can be and understand what I'm telling him. And, man, I'm telling you, I can literally see him cut the wheel whenever I – because he can't see all the lanes in his mirror. I can literally see him cut the wheel, and it's fun. I enjoy the hell out of it.
I'm telling you, it's some of the best racing I've ever seen.
I love it.
It really is. I mean, watching him drive that car with you spotting on those tracks is some of the best racing I have ever seen in the circuit.
I love watching him drive it, and watching how
aggressive he is going through a field – and then his ability to block a pack of cars for 70, 80-some-odd laps, as he has done time and time again, it is really amazing. So at lap 131, Mike, when we heard TJ's voice, caution's out, we all went, oh, thank God. And, of course, he was 26th in that position, still on the lead lap, came into pit, and then after getting four tires and all of that, restarted 16th. And had a chance to get back towards the front. Here is Greg talking about sliding the car into the pit stall and losing a couple of spots after he regained the lead.
The left front did not slide, right front only. It's stuck in fourth gear, so I could use the transmission bus to get it to slow down.
TJ, what were your thoughts on that?
I knew we were having a problem sliding the tires a little bit. He actually backed his entry up one time on the pit road, and we didn't slide him one time. But that front brake deal, I just feel like we had a little bit too much in there. You know, he's obviously trying. He was trying really hard too. He didn't say anything else about the gear there being stuck or anything else after that. So I don't know. I think it's just trying so hard and trying to get after it.
If there was one area of this race where we were subpar, it was our entries and our pit road performances. I mean, whether it was the penalty or Junior's entry into pit road. I mean, three times he slid and locked him up. And this one was the one where it really was going to – I mean, we went in first. Yeah. We went in first, and so he came out, what was it, 9th or 15th or something like that. So that one hurt, and you know what? It might have actually played into how – us not winning this race, to be honest with
you. It absolutely played into it. If it stays green, TJ, do you think the 88 wins the race? Do you think that the 88 could have gotten to second? Do you think Greg Biffle could have gone the rest of the race without having to pit on 50 laps?
Yeah, I don't think he could have won. I think he was going to run out. But, I think we could have won. I think we would have won. We did something that normally people don't – when they get single file by the wall, it's really hard to make up. Nobody ever makes up ground on the bottom. And we were the only car progressing doing that.
Yeah,
that's absolutely true. And it's hard to do that. And, like, talking with him after the race on the plane, we were joking about it. And, you know, it was fun. We were like, man, it was awesome doing that. You know, it was a lot of fun. We were working hard.
That reminded me of the 2004 Daytona 500 where he was passing low. He could pass.
Yeah.
It seemed like without anybody around him, he could go low or high and make a pass. And I'm telling you, it was amazing to watch him do that and cut back through the field because however long it took him early in the race, it didn't take him that long towards the end of the race. He was digging.
You know what was cool is I was sitting there thinking, like, okay, these the top five, and they see us back there. And, you know, I know people are watching us. You know what I mean? And it's funny because I'm sitting up there and I'm looking, and I'm like, I know these other spotters are just calling, like, oh, here comes the 88. You know, it was fun.
It's a good feeling, yeah.
They were fearing us, you know?
They should. Mike, to piggyback off your point, there's no question those issues absolutely factored in the end. I don't know why, but watching that race with Logano before second to last caution flew, before Biffle pitted,
right.
I was thinking how important that battle for second place was because I didn't think there was any way Biffle could finish the race. You never thought it would get end the way it did, though.
Yeah.
Let's hear Dale Jr., TJ, and Greg's reaction to it.
May the two help you here. He's got a big help with him. May the two help you there. He's got a big wreck in our mirror back here. No caution yet, though. It's going to come out here. Caution's out. Caution's out. Keep staying. Stay in front of him. Stay in front of him. Stay in front of him. Is it over? Yeah, it caution's out, buddy. So I'll let you know. Hold your position there. They're going to tell us.
Eventually, they told us.
Yeah. Now, you know what? One thing I was curious about, TJ, that I wanted to ask you. Logano chose to break up Junior and Jeff, but that also, in doing that, chose to break up himself and his own teammate, Brad Keselowski. That puts right. Brad behind Dale. Did you think Brad would push Dale?
I thought he would push, but I didn't think he would be as aggressive as our teammate would have been pushing. But you can't afford not to help some.
Did you talk to Joey, his spotter?
No, I mean, there's nothing. They've got their minds made up what they're going to do in the car, you know, pretty much. There's nothing Joey can't make him push.
No,
us,
I know, but
know?
I mean, I didn't
yeah.
know if maybe you formulated a strategy because I mean, you don't want to plot against the guy's teammate, but
yeah,
do want to go.
I guess the feeling I had was, and Junior sort of alluded to this after the race, is that on the bottom, he would have absolutely gotten the preferred line and gotten a run. And what would have happened is Joey would have tried to go to the bottom, or Junior would have gone up top to try to block eventually. Joey tries to make a move, and then Gordon's right there to push Junior.
Yeah.
At some point, I think you would have seen those two cars behind the top two reversed.
I felt like, you know, I felt like we could have prevailed on the bottom, but, you know, I don't – Brad pushed us. I mean, he was right there. I mean, he didn't. I'm going to tell you,
I think both of them would have pushed.
He wasn't as aggressive as Jeff was, but I mean, I don't have any problem losing that race by racing like that. We're racing. I don't want anybody to lift for anybody. I want us to all just race, and where you end up, you end up.
I was just curious on what Brad would do, and I was actually mildly or pleasantly surprised that he was. On Junior's bumper and pushing.
Yeah, Not going to say he wouldn't have made a move, but there's still opportunity for him to win that race, too, if the cards play out right. So, I mean, you want to go still. So, yeah, I think Brad did his part in it.
Yeah, Gordon went on and on after the race about how badly he wanted Junior to be in the next round. I mean, he said it over and over and over again, and he obviously is thrilled that he's in the next round.
Which is crazy because all year long we'd been talking about how, man, you know, Jeff is close to not making this chase in his, last year.
Jimmy won five. How many races did Jimmy win? Four or five? And yeah, Junior won two, and Gordon didn't win any. But, listen, that's 2015 chase format. It's them the breaks.
Yeah, it don't matter how you run in early summer. It matters how you finish.
Ryan Newman. Example of that, obviously.
Yeah, Jeff's been running good. He's been quietly right behind where everybody's looking. We all look, top five. Okay, Jeff's right there behind him.
And now, obviously, HMS is going to go all in and try to win him a championship in his last year in Sprint Cup racing. I know that Amy might not appreciate having a bunch of clocks in her room, in her house, but I'm sorry, Amy, I don't care.
That's right.
Let's go get another one.
I mean, might as well.
Yeah.
Junior's house is big enough. He can handle 2 clocks.
Did y'all notice last week that Spy came out with a new style of sunglasses in the Dale Jr. 88 collection?
I did know that. You know what it's called?
Dega. It's here. And they're constructed from virtually indestructible Gorillamid and feature the Dale Jr. signature print on the temple.
What does that mean?
I have no earthly idea.
Gorillamid?
It's a type of plastic. I Googled it.
Oh, you did? You didn't know what it was either?
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Indestructible, virtually indestructible Gorillamid. And it does have the Junior signature there on the temple as well. You can go check them out now at spyoptic.com. The good news, you can receive 20% off the purchase of this new style along with the other shades available in the Signature 88 collection. Just remember to enter discount code NATIONWIDE88 at checkout to take advantage of that.
Again, there you go.
Indestructible Gorillamid.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Let her eat, Amanda.
If any of you are looking for a belated Dale Jr. birthday gift idea, I have one. I'd like Kevin Harvick right here today, and I want him bought from his happy contender round slumber over at Stuart Haas, where all the other rich people live, and I want him brought right here with a great ribbon on his head. and I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, sport-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat, bug-eyed, stiff-licked, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey-shit he is. Hallelujah. Holy where's the Tylenol?
That's funny. That's very, very funny. I listen, you can call me a jerk. I don't know if I would have done anything different. I'm just going to be honest with you.
If you're Harvick?
If I got to get into the chase and how much money is associated with that and how important that is for an organization, if I got to get to the next round, I'm just saying, you can call him whatever you want, every name in the world from the Great Christmas Vacation.
So you're saying, though,
I don't know if I would have done anything different.
So you're saying, though, that you're thinking he did it on purpose.
I mean, who doesn't really ultimately think he did it on purpose, Mike? Honestly.
I don't think anybody knows but him.
Man, I don't know what was more heartbreaking. Watching Tennessee Vols lose to Mike Davis' Alabama Crimson Tide at the last minute, or watching Kevin Harvick straight up rob Junior of that race, trying to bring out a caution for his own benefit. There's zero doubt in my mind Junior was going to win that race on the restart, and there's zero doubt in my mind that Harvick did that on purpose. He had to have seen the six car beside it. And if NASCAR doesn't do something, they'll lose a lot of credibility with me. Oh, well. AEA team looks strong. Hopefully, build towards next year. Get another winner for this year's
over. See, now that's an interesting point that he brings up. Now, regardless of where you are on whether you think Harvick did it on purpose or not, I think NASCAR would lose more credibility if they went and changed something in the middle of the week like this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I 100% think he did it on purpose. So, yeah,
I know, but you're missing my point, TJ.
I know what you're saying.
Saying NASCAR's – if NASCAR credibility is what we're talking about, just deciding that, oh, that guy must have done that on purpose, so let's change up the running order, right there loses credibility.
Why stop now? Let's penalize him.
Hey, wow. Alabama did beat Tennessee.
They did, but I don't really want to talk about that. That was terrible.
Who's next?
That is the biggest bull rule I've ever seen in my whole life. And on top of that, Junior was fun of Logano when the yellow flag came out. Like, what kind of bull is this? NASCAR needs to get their together before they do another plate race. God, this.
Tell us how you really feel.
That was Taylor's words.
Who's next?
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, I'm a little disappointed in how Junior Nation fans are handling themselves on social media and whatnot right now. And I'm frustrated. I know everybody's frustrated. That was probably the most disappointing thing to ever happen in a race I've ever seen. But to get on there and be bad-mouthing NASCAR and Joey Logano like that, I just don't know if that's necessary. And especially after seeing Dale give his posthumous interview, probably the classiest thing I've seen in sports in a real long time. And really looking forward to what the 2016 season has. And let's go get it. Dale, yeah.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that completely. Yeah. And that's one thing that might get lost in the shuffle is I think these are the best days of Dale Jr. and the 88 team. I really believe that. Everybody's always just a great restrictor plate driver. That's ridiculous.
No, we're competitive.
We talked about it last week on this podcast. Having what did we say? We had third most top five finishes this year, I think.
Yeah, even with all the problems we've had too. So
yeah, I think that his maturity is and how he's handling all this is a big part of that.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things going for us. So
who's next?
You raced your ass off. You deserve to win. You deserve to be in the next round. This is bullshit. NASCAR's stupid ass rules have ruined everything. Bill France Jr. is a son of a. Joey Logano is a little. I hope Matt Kenseth still punches him. I don't know why Kevin Harvick was still out there after this first restart. There was no reason for him to be out there. NASCAR could have black flagged him. Everybody knew he couldn't go. It's horrible. NASCAR slighted the biggest fan base there is in two rounds of the chase. They've knocked out a six-time champion. They almost damn near knocked out their reigning champion. They knocked out their most popular driver. Has no indication of a full season. It's horseshit. NASCAR has been the greatest sport in America because it hasn't been like the rest of the sports in America. This playoff system ruined it.
Bill France Jr. got called out.
Totally.
Yeah. Not Brian.
No, Bill.
May you rest in peace. Who's next?
Junior, I think you deserve to win this race, and they did you wrong, and I'm your number one fan, and I love you, Boo, and you're going to get your chance, okay? From Mississippi, we love you, Boo.
That is fantastic. That is just fantastic. Wait, please. I know he listens to the podcast, but I want Amanda, I want you to send that directly to him, please.
I liked her. She made my night, actually. Yeah. That's why I put her on.
Send that to Amy also. Why? We love you, boo.
She doesn't need to send it to herself.
Yeah. Who's next?
I just want to say great job to the 88 crew. Del Jr., you drove your off. You were in the best position you could have been. You put yourself there. TJ Majors, you're a hell of a spotter. I think after you retire from this, you should be air traffic controller or something, man. But you know what pisses me off is the fact that NASCAR constantly changes the rules to manipulate the finishes that they want. And all year, we've always run three green-white checkers, and then all of a sudden, they changed the rule. And look at it. Because of that, look at the implications that's happened. I get it that they threw the caution. It's great for the safety of the drivers. I understand that. But good job, Junior. You got a great race today. I guess on to Martinsville. Let's go win that, baby. Hell yeah.
I think ultimately when you get, like I said this to McGee, that when you get past the disappointment that we lost the race and you just have to settle with the fact, if anybody has legitimate issues that are provable, it's that NASCAR does change the rules at will. Junior was talking in his audio about
it's the NASCAR rule book.
But the NASCAR rule book got changed
on Monday. It
gets
changed all the time. And that's
I don't mind
that's
the
really
rule. I don't mind the rules.
I don't mind the rule either. I don't mind
I think
it.
I think to Mike's point, though, if we were conditioned to the rule for more than 10 minutes and like, okay, that's been the rule for a year or that's been the rule for 10 years, I think it'd be a little easier to stomach.
There's
the fact that it was
lot.
Just changed and probably will be changed again.
It was just changed and it didn't work out and there was still another problem.
And you know they're going to change it again, by the way.
They're going to change it and then something else is going to happen because you know why? These are restrictor plate tracks and that's what happens at restrictor plate.
And desperate measures are coming about.
Who's next?
Well, I'm through with NASCAR. How can you justify changing the rules during the chase? We need a new sanction. Kel Yarber and Tony Stewart need to get together and let's get NASCAR out of here.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Kale and smoke. There we go. That's interesting.
I'd watch.
For sure.
See what they got.
I have to say I am ashamed of some of the support I've seen on Facebook and Twitter. People are talking about boycotting NASCAR because of what happened today, and I thoroughly disagree with that. I mean, what kind of fans are we if we stop watching our driver because we're mad about something NASCAR did? Yeah, I agree. He got gypped. All right? I'm pissed as all of you, but boycotting NASCAR? Come on. I am not proud to be a Dale Jr. fan right now, and I'm sorry, that's just the way it is.
They're just trying to make it better, honestly. They're trying to make it better.
No, you know what? I'm with this lady. I'm with her because you know what?
You don't
walk
away.
That drives me crazy, too.
Yeah, you don't
walk
away.
It drives me crazy. Listen, don't threaten people because you are going to go quit watching as if that's going
to
do
that. That's the silliest thing to say.
Well, it's
the silliest thing to say because nobody believes it. They just say it.
It's just not a solution. You're not in the solution business, and
the best thing to do is to go win Martinsville and all of us go into the NASCAR room up near the press box. I'm just kidding.
Let's be honest. If we win that race, then we don't hear any of this stuff. So,
who's next?
Here's the problem with NASCAR in general. How can they finish a playoff race under caution? It's like ending a football game in a tie and then saying, well, this team was ahead last before the tie, so they win. This is why NASCAR can't get new fans.
this is
why they can't hold fans, because they're a terrible governing body. It's also on NASCAR that they had Kevin Harvick on the track. He stated over the radio that he couldn't go. It was proven in the first green-white checker that wasn't a green-white checker. His wife was tweeting it online that he couldn't go, but yet NASCAR lets him out there, and he causes a giant wreck, which is what caused us not to win the race. With that being said, congratulations. He did everything he needed to do yesterday. It still didn't work out. Hell yeah.
All right, two things. First of all, you have to see how competitive the car is on the track before you can black flag somebody. I don't care what they're tweeting,
what they're
saying, etc.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been black flagged.
You have to wait until you can see with your own eyes if they should be black flagged. Secondly, races finishing under caution. Did you like when Dale Earnhardt won Daytona?
Daytona 500?
Yeah, did you like that?
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. Straight up under caution.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
White flag and yellow flag waving at the same time.
Just curious. Yeah. Okay, who's next?
What a cluster. NASCAR should be ashamed of themselves for that pitiful ending to the race. You know, with all that said, Junior's reaction to the ending is why I'm such a huge fan. You know, he could have complained, he had every right to, but instead he took the high road. He drove his ass off today and should be proud of what he accomplished. Go get yourself another clock next week. Dale, yeah.
Yeah, I just can't get on board with the crowd that's like NASCAR should be ashamed because of the ending, the way it ended. Like, like we're obligated for something. I get it. You pay money, but back in the 70s, back right. in the 80s, you paid money yeah. to go watch a race, and you knew good and well they may end under caution.
They wanted to see their guy. They
you want to see your
here's
guy.
Here's the reason why everybody's
frustrated.
If Junior
wins, this is not a problem.
What they're saying, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but their passion and their feeling is our guy had him.
That's right.
Our guy yeah. was going to win the race, and a caution flag, a weird finish, compromised our guy winning the race. That's what they're ultimately saying.
Yeah.
And that's fair. I mean, listen, that's yeah. fair.
It is fair.
That is a fair argument to say, dadgummit, I'm not happy with the way that race ended because Junior didn't win it and that, you know, pissant Joey Logano did after yeah. saying that NASCAR, yes, legitimate beef, but it's not NASCAR's. If NASCAR starts guaranteeing how the races end, isn't that exactly what you also complain about NASCAR doing?
It's just I would like them, you know, NASCAR just signed a 5-year deal with all their tracks through 2021. Yeah. Sign a 3-year deal with all your rules. You know, like,
nice.
You know what? I mean,
I like it.
Sign a deal and say, okay, guess what? We're not going to let Jeff Gordon into the chase on special circumstances. We're going to have 12 drivers that make the playoffs, or we're going to have this many green white. We're not going to keep changing things. These are the rules for the next 3 years. Deal with it. I think that is
they
what
would do
a lot of
a favor.
They would
doing that
because
like,
people
you know
would know going in.
Yeah.
This is what. Hey, listen. Yeah. That's the rule. It's been the rule for quite some time. They really should do that.
I feel like there's been too much change over the last couple of years with qualifying. It went from single car to group, and then it went from group to single car at plate tracks. Yeah. And then the restart box had to get bigger. There's just been a lot of change in the last couple of years.
Amanda, I promise this is the last one.
You know, Mike Davis, you want me to keep my message brief and to the point? Well, that, man. I am so pissed off right now. NASCAR can call a guy over the wall 2 inches before the car reaches the pit, but they can't see that Dale Jr. was in the lead.
I want to salute you, Amanda, for knowing when to hit the bleep button. I mean, really, the fact that, how many times did you listen to that?
It took me a while.
Yeah.
Holy
Old
cow.
Tim can hit new levels of octaves.
Yes, he can.
Yeah.
And you know what, Amanda, are we going to also play some more calls at the end?
Yes, I've got a bunch compiled.
Because we honestly had so many Reaction Theater calls that you want to give everybody their chance, and I know that we always pick the best ones each week. But the
mailbox was full 3 times.
So we're going to just run – at the end of this podcast, we're just going to run some more. So stay tuned. You're going to want to hear some more of these.
A couple of years ago, Mike and I were sitting in some somewhat dark room at early in the morning, and he said
– What?
You know how – you know how
no,
you have
we weren't.
People – Yes, we were. And we were – he was saying, you know how you have those people that call into your radio show, they can call whenever they want? You think it'd be a good idea if we do that? Well, there you go. Sorry, Amanda.
They had something to say, yeah.
Reaction Theater, we play them here every single week. 1-855-740-1902 is the number.
Here's what's coming up this week on Dirty Mo Radio. Tomorrow, Kelly is joined by longtime friend and Sprint Cup driver Steve Park on Fastlane Family, presented by Wella Professionals. And due to another off week in the Xfinity Series, Junior Motorsports Upfront, presented by Dale's Pale Ale, will once again take the week off. But remember, you can always catch Dale Jr.'s at-track press conferences on said Junior, presented by Nationwide. Dirty Mo Radio podcasts are available free of charge 24/7 on DaleJr.com, iTunes, and all major podcasting outlets.
Let's throw the white flag.
White flag right there. White flag.
White flag is brought to you by MasteringConflict.com. Effective coaching, anger management training, and counseling for anyone dealing with conflict issues. Taylor, that's not you, but that might be Tim Brock, who just called Reaction Theater. In related news, Dale's Pale Ale also offers counseling in the form of 6-packs, 12-packs, or cases. Go to OscarBlues.com for a local distributor near you. Dale Jr. is busy today. He's doing production work for TaxSlayer, which is a good time to talk to you about something you should care about. All right, you ready? In fact, we may need to lower the music. I want them to pay attention here. You might have seen that new TaxSlayer paint scheme for next year. It's gorgeous. Have you seen it?
No, sir.
Okay, it's gorgeous. You might know that Dale Jr. has this thing for old school retro t-shirts. Did you know that, Taylor?
I did.
Okay, because he shops for them on eBay all the time. With that in mind, Dale and TaxSlayer collaborated to make 88 special edition t-shirts that feature the paint scheme. They get this retro look, and they're specifically to Dale's liking. And here's why you should know that. Because you can get one through the 88 days till tax season sweepstakes, where TaxSlayer is giving away one of these shirts every single day for 88 straight days. Again, every single day for 88 days. If you go to TaxSlayer.com/88days right now, you can enter the sweepstakes, win one of these shirts. Only you, Dale, and like 87 other people will have one. I know that actually adds to 89, but Dale gets one for free. So that means 88. So go to – do you know where to go, Taylor?
I heard you, yeah.
TaxSlayer.com/88days. All right. Now let's talk about this weekend. You know it's the Goody's Headache Relief Shot 500, right, Taylor?
I do.
That's at Martinsville Speedway. You right?
I've been there.
All right, you have. Well, that usually means that Dale Jr. and Goody's will have some sort of announcement. And that's all I'm saying. I'm just saying keep your eyes and ears open for possibly announcement because I know what they did.
I typically go there, have a dog, a do, and a lot of goodies.
All right, you might need them. You never know. By the way,
I usually do there.
The Goody's Headache Relief Shots would have been nice this past weekend, right?
Yes.
Speaking of the Goody's Headache Relief Shot 500, Sunday's race will be televised on NBC Sports Network, Motor Racing Network, and Sirius XM NASCAR Channel 90, Taylor Zarzer's employer. It starts at 1:15 p.m. my time. Not sure about your time, so check your local listings. The defending race winner is Mr. Who is it? Who is the defending race winner, Taylor?
Dale Jeremiah Earnhardt II.
I don't even know who that is. But Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be driving the blue and white, bad to the bone, number 88, Nationwide Chevrolet. Hopefully Taylor Zarzer, the shifter, works this time in Martinsville, remember?
I do.
The spring race?
I do.
It
How could
came apart?
Yeah, that's a problem.
So maybe it'll work this time.
That'd be nice.
Because it'd be a vibration, and you know we have a lot of those.
Yeah. Amy wouldn't get much sleep at night if you get another clock, but sorry. Put it in my house if you want.
You got room for it?
I do.
Okay.
The one we have doesn't work.
I'll just get you a clock.
Thanks.
It won't be that one.
I'd rather you just listen to Sirius XM for the first time.
Love Sirius XM. You know my favorite show on Sirius XM?
Thanks to Dale Earnhardt Jr. What's the name of it?
It's called the Taylor Zarzer College Football Preview.
No, it's not. Dale Earnhardt Jr., thank you very much. Thanks to Amanda Wolfmeyer, TJ Majors. I guess we have to thank Mike Davis. I'm Taylor Zarzer and Ryan McGee. You've been listening to the Dale Jr. Download presented by Spy.
Thanks for listening to Dirty Mo Radio.
Hey, Amanda, before we get into Extended Reaction Theater, let's tell the fans where they can get this Dega sunglasses one more time.
Well, they're still a part of the Dale Jr. Signature 88 collection, so you can go to spyoptic.com, find they group that collection together. There's about 4 or 5 different colors of them. I don't know if you've seen.
I didn't know that.
Some pretty cool color combinations. They're pretty slick-looking glasses.
That's
so
cool.
Best part is they're part of the discount, so you just enter Nationwide 88 at checkout, and you get 20% off your purchase of them.
Fantastic. All right, folks, enjoy Extended Reaction Theater right here.
Joey Logano, if I see him, I'll kick him right in the Dale Jr. had that race won. I need a beer.
I have never been more proud to be a Dale Earnhardt Jr. fan in my life. He ran his heart out today, and listening to him in those post-race interviews, he is a class act. And this is why I am a Dale Jr. fan. Dale, yeah, no beers.
All I got to say is Dale Jr. was robbed of that race. He had a better car than Joey Logano did. What the hell is going on with NASCAR? They need to go back to where it was in the 90s and let them race like men. This is nothing but pretty boy stuff.
Hey, Dale, you are the winner. Period, the end. You are an Earnhardt. You won it. Logano, and you know what? Because he's a friggin' He hit you on the restart the first time. He's doing it again. He doesn't deserve to win. He's a friggin' loser. Bye.
Hi, Dale. I'm so sorry you didn't win, but I was rooting for you. I think Logano needs to be taught a lesson. So have a good day and see you next week. Love you. Bye-bye.
I'm proud of my guy today. He raced his butt off in there. Came up a little bit short. I will say I've lost respect for Kevin Harvick after that move to wreck the field there, coming to the last green light checkered. I expected the champion to be more champion-like instead of doing what he did there. But I know Dale said it didn't do enough in the first two races of the round to get through. So make the most of the last four races, guys. Good luck.
Hey, first-time caller here. You know, I'm 25 years old. I've been watching Dale race since I was 10 years old. The first race I actually watched was the 2001 Daytona 500. I've literally grown up and have become a man watching Dale race. You know, girlfriends have come and gone. Family members have passed. I've changed and I've grown, but Dale has always been the one constant in my life. I don't think I've ever been more proud of him than I was today. Poise and grace he displayed in his post-race interview after that devastating loss is literally the reason I love the guy. It's the reason I respect him. It's the reason I will forever be a Dale Jr. fan. You know, I don't care if he ever wins a championship. I don't care if he ever wins another race. I'll be a fan until the very end, and I'll forever cherish the memories he has created in my mind. Dale, yeah.
Dale Jr., you're one of the best drivers out there, man. They robbed you of that race today. And you're just so cool, calm, and collect, man. You take it on the chin like a pro. I tell you, you're one of the best, man. And I just feel like they should have done another green-white checker, man. God bless you, brother.
Dale, I know you're disappointed not being in the chase. However, you had a great season. You've got a great team. And I was very impressed with your interview after the race and how you handled yourself. Very professional. Very pleased. And go get them next year. Thank you.
This is the only NASCAR-affiliated number I know, so I'm just going to file my complaint here that this whole one green-white checkered is absolute BS, but thanks. Sorry, J.R. Merch, but you had to hear that, but I'm a total junior fan, and this is Dale Bull.
NASCAR, how dare you take the chance for the driver to win at the end? One green-white checker was not good enough. You should have known better. They should have had two chances at the win. This is absolutely bull****. Okay, Junior, screwed up. I'll admit that. But still, you should have had a chance to win at the end. But hey, Junior, great driving like we knew you would. Dale, yeah, no beard, just great passion.
Well, if they would have got the gun green, Junior sure would have won. Go, Junior, still a fan.